Blog Talk Radio.
Distant lover,
Shalom, shalom, everyone. How is everybody doing today? You know what? We back again for another Sunday. How amazing is that? Boy, the Most High is moving this thing on. It's moving pretty fast. I hope everybody have enjoyed their Sabbath. And, you know, we went into a double Sabbath. You know, if I can't spend no money, I don't go out the house. So I kind of been in here all day, but it's been a blessing. All praises be to the Most High, Yah. Everything is going according to plan, and here we go again. I mean, you know, this is just another edition of the Yehuda Project. I hope everybody is enjoying their time, you know, spending time with the Most High, resting a little bit, reflecting a little bit, all that good stuff. All right, so if somebody can hear me, somebody just push one. Anybody push one. It don't matter who it is. Thank you so much, Erico 614. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. You know, it's just, it was a good class yesterday. You know, it's growing. People are listening. There's been so many people that have come through the Nation of Yehuda, come through this radio show. It's just been absolutely amazing. It has truly been a pleasure that the Most High has allowed us to do this, you know. And, you know, we're getting ready to, I keep telling y'all, we're getting ready to turn a corner. And it's going to be an amazing corner that we're getting ready to turn, because we are definitely going home. You know, that's the sentiment that's going around Israel. You know, everybody is talking about it. You know, it's really not a whole lot to talk about, other than the fact that we're getting ready to go home. And it's just a blessing. All praises be to the wonderful High and Holy One of Israel. And, yeah, so, you know, this is what we're doing today. You know, it's a lot of stuff we can talk about. I guess I'll give everybody a chance. You know, if anybody has anything in particular that you would like to talk about, please feel free to push one. You know, all praises be to the Most High. It's so much stuff going on right now. It's just a lot going on right now. It is so much stuff going on right now. It's just hard to pick one topic, you know. But you just don't know where to start, to be honest with you. I'm just going to be honest. You have no idea where you're going to start. You know, because the news is full of stuff. We covered a lot of the stuff yesterday. Don't forget to continue to pray for them young people, you know, that got themselves caught up in that mess. All praises be to the Most High. Have mercy on them, you know. We do what we're going to do, living through this. The last little bit of this captivity. The last little bit, you know. And it's really kind of scary, you know, to see all of this stuff jumping off. But what can you do? There's nothing you can really do but watch it. And it just seems like evil is just increasing. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And it's like, man. You know, I had so much stuff prepared for you guys yesterday. But, you know, the Most High went in a whole nother direction, which we have to be prepared for. Because this is his program. But, you just don't know where to start, you know. I don't have a whole lot to talk about. I never do. I try to wing it and just let it go the way it's going to go, you know, because, you know, we it's so many things out there that we can discuss, you know, and dealing with the other nations and things like that. I know the topic came up in one of our classes about, you know, how do we feel about the Gentile nation and the other nations, and, you know, do we think that it's really counterproductive not to have, you know, decent compassion for humanity. You know, we did discuss that the other day in one of our classes, and, you know, how if we do have that, it's not going to stop the Most High's judgment, you know. But it's a lot of hard stuff out there that's coming our way. It's a lot of hard questions, and I think the hardest part for me is that you have to tell them what thus saith the Most High. You can't bring your emotions in it. You can't get in it. You have to tell them what the Most High says. You have to do what his law says do, irregardless to what your emotional feelings are. You know, and it's really difficult. It's a hard thing to do sometimes, you know, because, you know, hard questions have come our way about relationship, about marriage, about different things. And it is very difficult, you know, because we live a certain way in this society. You know, people get divorced, they separate, you know, they're engaged with other people, they date other people while they're separated and yet still married. And these are all Yah's laws that we have to live by, you know. And the way we live in this society is that you can do all those things and come back together. You know, and people get back together for the sake of the kids, and they're back together to raise the children, you know, and those are difficult things. You know, it just really is. It really is difficult things to have to deal with people on, but you have to tell them what the Most High says to them. It's not about how I feel. It's not about the way you feel. It's not about it. It is what His Word says. Now, my question, I guess, to you all is, you know, does those laws apply while we're in captivity? Do you think they apply while we're in captivity? I mean, you know, I just want to know how you feel about that. Do you think that those laws apply when we're in captivity? You know, living under this, under the tutelage of the society that we're under today. Because if as far as relationships are concerned, you know, he's very strict about that. You know, and I just want to know, you know, how do you guys feel about those laws applying while we are in captivity, while we're in this captivity? Because when you think about it, you think about, and I'm going to tell you why I say that. You know, just say you have a young couple that's gotten married. They've had 3-4 little kids. They got married without really knowing what marriage involved. You know, they hung in there for about 5-6 years. They separated because they couldn't just get along. They couldn't get this thing going like it should be going. They both go out. They sleep with other people. And then they want to come back together for the sake of the family. You know, because there are children involved, you know, and according to Yah's law, you can forgive one another. And then I guess that's what I want to know, too. Where does grace come in at? Where does grace come in at? Does grace even apply? You know, how does that apply? Because the scripture is very clear about those situations. And I see you, area code 717. I'm definitely coming. Just give me 1 second. But I want to read what the law says, and I want to know, you know, what you guys think about that. You know, because these are some of the hard decisions that, you know, we are the questions that come our way all the time. You know, and just want to make sure that we know. You know, if you go to... If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 24, and that's chapter 24, it says a certain thing. We're going to start at verse number 1 and see what it says. I mean, you know, and it's real, you know, this is what he gave us to live by. And it says, when a man have taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that he finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. It says, and when she departs out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. So she has a right to remarry again. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled. For that is abomination before the Most High, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Most High thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance. It says, and when a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife which he has taken. So those are some of the issues. You know, that's the law. And then you go to Matthew chapter 5. I'm gonna put this all out here because that's the law. That was what was given to us as a law. But when you go to the New Testament, you go to Matthew chapter 5, and it states, let's go down to verse number, number 31. It says, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. So, you know, this is where the situation comes in at, you know, and it's real dry, it's real cut and dry that we were given the law. But over here it says, well, wait a minute now, you can't throw her in a situation and cause her to commit adultery because you want to be with somebody else. Because now we got kids involved. So, you know, it's just one of them situations. It's just not always cut and dry. And where does grace fit in at? You know, and I just wanted to know what you think. Let me pull it up. Area code 717, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Oh, that's okay. The subject changed. That's okay. I was going to ask a question about the nations. That's okay. I'll wait till another time.
Hey, no, ask the question. You can ask the question.
Yeah, it was pertaining to class yesterday when you said, a question was asked by another person, like, what's the difference between a heathen and a Gentile? And you said the heathen was the Hamites or Ethiopians. So
and some of the Hamites. And some of the Shemites.
Okay, so if the Ethiopians were heathen, but didn't the Most High say, aren't you like the Ethiopians unto me? So he's calling us heathens too? Aren't they the Gentiles and the people that we're here? I'm going to put you in the land with the heathens. Aren't these the heathens here?
No.
Okay.
No. Let me go back. Let's go here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 10. Because Gentile is a nationality. And we were acting like the heathens. And why were we acting like the heathens?
Following their ways and their gods.
Yeah, absolutely. We were following behind them. We were serving their gods. We were doing the same thing that they were doing. So yes, he has called us all kind of names. Yes, he has compared us to all kind of people. Absolutely. Okay, now let me do it again. Let's do it this way. Let's do it. Genesis chapter 10. It says, now these are the generation of the sons of Noah. You have Shem, you have Ham, and you have Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. So what we're saying is the flood wiped everybody out. And no, it was only 8 people that were left on the ark. So Noah's 3 sons populated the earth. So no matter where you are on the earth or who you come from, you had to come from one of those 3 sons. Either you came from Ham, either you came from Shem, or you came from Japheth. On this earth today, you have to have been, you had to come from one of those 3 boys. Now, it says the sons of Japheth are Gomer, Magog, Madi, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, Tyrus. The sons of Gomer are Ashkenaz, Riphah, Togarma. The sons of Javan is Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles, divided in their land, every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. So Gentile is a nationality. It is European nationality. So then you have the sons of Ham. You have Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. And then you go into the sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Septah, Ramah, Sabteca, the sons of Rabbah, Sheba, Dedan. And Cush begot Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Most High, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Most High. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calne, in the land of Shinar. And out of the land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh and the city Rehoboth and Kala. And then it gets into all the other cities and all of the other children. Those were the children of Ham and Japheth. Now, when you talk about Japheth, those are European people. When he talks about the heathen, he's talking about the children of Ham and the other children that are not Shemite, that are not Israel, the Shemites. And the reason why he called them heathens is because of the way they carried on. And we acted just like they did because we wanted to do what they did. And today we have people of our nation saying that we are Gentiles because we were brought here under the Gentile rule. So even in the church today, they call themselves Gentiles. What'd they do? I know that's what we called ourselves when I was in there. I don't know if you ever had the experience of the church, because everybody has. But when I was in there, they told us we was Gentiles. That's how we identified ourselves in the Bible, as Gentiles.
Yes, we did.
And so, you know, that's what we thought we were. But now we realize that we are not the Gentile. We are the Israelite. We are his chosen, but we're in exile because of our disobedience.
Okay.
Because we... Any other questions? You know. And that's where the whole deception thing comes in at. You know, so when you really think that, you know, that you're a Gentile, you cannot be. It's just like you cannot be an Ashkenazi Jew. There's no way you can be one. That's impossible. Either you're Ashkenaz or you're a Jew. Are you from the children of Israel? You cannot be an Ashkenazi Jew. It's impossible. Because Ashkenazi is one of Japheth's grandchildren, if I'm not mistaken. And these people were the ones who gave birth to their nation. So, but, you know, nobody really puts two and two together. They don't, just like I heard something that was so crazy, and it may be in one of the other books, but I was listening to a radio show of two people talking. I'm not going to give no names because I don't want to start a controversy. But they were saying that Leah and Rachel were twins. And I looked everywhere, unless it's in one of the Jewish books, but I looked everywhere. I couldn't find anywhere that said Leah and Rachel were twins. A whole lot of stuff out there. And that Leah came out first, and Rachel came out second. So they couldn't have been identical twins because she didn't look like Rachel looked. So it's a lot of crazy stuff going on out there. You have to be real careful with all the information. One thing, let me say this. I know there's a lot of books out there, and a lot of people read a lot of different books. And I try not to knock anybody for doing that because it's not none of my business. If you want to engage in those books that are off, like the testimonies of Abraham and the testimonies of so-and-so, I had opportunities to read those books. The only thing, the reason why I stick with the scriptures and I stick with the books that are associated with the scriptures is because Yah substantiates his word. That word right there is being substantiated by a more sure word of prophecy. He fulfills that Bible, and I stay in that Bible for a reason. I could go off into never ever land. I could come up with all kind of books that say this, that, and the other. But one thing about his word, he validates that word. Now, I'm not saying that the other stuff is right or wrong. I don't ascribe to one way or the other. Everybody can read whatever they want to read. I just tell you to be careful. You know, because but one thing I know about that word for sure, I know that word is being fulfilled. So, you know, and you have to really be careful because a whole lot of folks got a whole lot of answers. And I'm like, okay, you done put this out there. Now prove where it says they was twins. But everybody want to have one up on the next guy. Oh, yeah, I knew this and didn't nobody else know that. Well, where you get it from? You know, so it's a lot of stuff out there. You know. And so you just have to be careful. You know, you really, really do. You have to be careful with all the information that comes up that's out there now, because the enemy is out there to confuse everybody. You know, and it's just like all this stuff is in the Torah and all this crap. You just don't know. And then people, and then some of these books are filling in the blanks, you know, and it's like, well, wait a minute. I was telling somebody that the other day. I said, I have a book that I bought years ago that talks about the Christ as a baby and a little boy and all the miraculous things that he did when he was a little boy and a little baby. Got it from the library. Now, I read it, but I mean, you know, who can substantiate that? You know, so I just don't, introduce all of that stuff, because my thing is this, and once we know this word and he stands on this word, that ought to be enough. Anything else that he needs to answer, he'll answer when we see him. Yeah, that's just my take on it. You know, so I just don't, you know, that's just the way I feel about the whole situation, because you get confused. I watch people go all the way off on the deep end. I've watched people go off the deep end trying to find the truth or trying to find all the answers, and you're just not going to have all the answers. But if some people, like, if you keep looking, he'll make sure you find something. So you got to really be careful, you know. And I'm like, wow, twins for real? So Esau and Jacob was twins, and now Rachel and Leah was twins. Okay. You know, so everybody, you know, you got to really be careful. That's how, my advice is stay in the Word. Our beginning is in the Word, our middle is in the Word, and our ending is in the Word. Stay in the Word. If it's not mentioned in the Word, don't touch it. I just don't touch it. Because, you know, I have a lot of people that on this call, you know, that have been here for a long time. Stay in the Word. Cause you can't lose with that. You're not gonna miss with that one. You know, and that's just real. That's all I can say on the matter. You know. So, one thing I can say for sure is that he loves us, and one thing I can say for sure is he chose us, and one thing I can tell you for surety is that we disobeyed and that we're in this land because we've been disobedient, but he promised that he was going to come and get us. Now, that right there, I can say for sure. Everything else, and that he's our Elohim. I can tell you that for sure. You know, it ain't fun being over here. It ain't fun, you know, going through what we're going through over here. You know, it's a little different relationship, you know, than everybody else has. You know, it's a little different situation. But he still loves us. And he punished us just like a father would. And like we said yesterday, he turned his back so that we would be punished. And it's been a hell of a punishment. It really has. It really, really has. You know. And you know, you want to, you know, we know the truth. And we want to know the truth. But I always ask, what's worse, knowing or not knowing? You know, everybody be like, well, I would rather know, you know, and it's bittersweet. It is. It's a freedom on one hand, and it's frustrating on the other hand. You know, because as much as you know, you're ready for this thing to be over with. But at the same time, you know, you don't know what to expect, but you know that you're going to be with him, so you're going to be all right. But still, it's life. It's something. You know, and he's so smooth with what he do. He the boss. He's smooth. I mean, I thought I was smooth, and I can't shake a stick. He is smooth. By the time you realize what's been happening, he done been gone on, and he a because he wrote to him from the beginning, so he ain't got to work out nothing. It's already worked out. He just initiating people and activating people's parts, and he going through, okay, it's your turn now. You step up and do this. You know what I'm saying? He's like the producer of a movie, and it's like every time it's, when the curtain go up, he making people, okay, this is your part now. You say this. So, I mean, you know, he's smooth with it. I mean, he is smooth, you know, and everybody has a part to play, whether you're a Gentile, a heathen, an Israelite, or whatever. Everybody has a part to play, and you're going to play your part. He is the boss, boy. I'm telling you, you'd be like, man. You know, that's why I tell everybody, don't sweat the look. Just let your brain do what it can do, because you cannot begin to understand him. There's no way that you'll ever begin to know what he is truly all about. You can't take it. It's too much. You know, my daughter's a nurse, and she's like, Mommy, you know, when you look at the body and how all of the parts work separately, but they work together in unison to come. She said, hey, I don't understand how people can believe there is no God. She said, couldn't no man come up with this? I said, yeah. I said, and the kicker part about it is made out of mud. I said, let's start there. Dude, you got living mud walking around talking, talking, walking, and eating mud. And then every time, you know, we procreate, we bring more people in here that's made out of mud. And shoot, let's start there. How amazing is that? Mud people making other mud people. And they still can't figure out how the brain function in its totality. They can't figure it out. You know? So, it's amazing. And this is, and you know, when you really do get to know him, what kind of, and one of the sisters said it on the radio show, she said, what kind of Elohim is this? She said, what kind of Elohim is this? You know? This one man told me, he said, I think it's a woman. I said, it is. He said, no, I really do think it's a woman that we're dealing with. I said, no, it is. He said, no, I'm serious. I said, they both male and female. He said, so I said, it's a male and female. He said, no, I think that when we see, it's a woman. I said, is she up there too? So it's a lot going on. I mean, it's bigger than you and me. I can't even begin to understand it. You know. And I want to. I'm with all y'all. I want to know. I'm nosy like that. I've always been nosy, but I've come to the point where I have just threw in the towel. Like, okay, whatever it is, it's too much for me. It's beyond my pay grade. I just don't want, you know. And they got a commercial going on with this guy. I guess he's supposed to be a professor or something. And he's sitting in a chair, and he says something like, "Well, why would the serpent be standing on two legs, and why would God punish the serpent and he end up on his belly?" And everybody started laughing. I said, because the supernaturalness to us is foolishness to those who don't understand it. It's funny now, but it's not going to be funny later. So all the intellectual people who think they're having a thought of their own, you know, it's fun. That's what's funny, that you can laugh at him. That's the funny part, that you think you're laughing at him. I mean, you know, it's just interesting. It just is, all this is just, oof. What a Elohim. So I hope I answered your question without going all the way around all the way around the mulberry bush. But, you know, to be a Gentile is a nationality. You know, it's not a spiritual nationality. It's a nationality. That's why there's no such thing as spiritual Israel. No such thing. It doesn't exist. Now, they will be allowed in his kingdom, just like we said. You know, I think it's, what is it, Zechariah chapter 14 says that there's going to be someone from every nation. In his kingdom, and they're going to live among us, and they will enjoy the peace of his nation and all of that kind of stuff. But you know, they still have to come up under us. You know, it's just, that's just the way it's going to be. You know. No, it's just, and I think that's 14 and 16. It says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left, this is what it says, that's left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Most High of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth. Let me say that again. All the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Most High of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up, so we know Egypt going to be there, and come not, that hath no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Most High will smite the heathen that cometh not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So even in his kingdom, they have to come and they have to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And if they don't, they don't get no rain. So there will be some out of every nation. That's why we can't go with those people who say, oh, it's just going to be Israelites. Nope. Not what the scriptures say. Not what it say. So there will be some out of all the nations that are left after the sword. Not after the rapture. Not after they get caught up to heaven and come back with Christ. After those that are left after the sword. Those that come up against Jerusalem. You know, so that's where, it's our job to let people know, you know, you might as well start now. You might as well start now. I mean, for real. But they're going to come up against Jerusalem. They're going to come up against the land. They're going to come up against us. They're going to come up against him. And when they do, it's going to be a war. And those that's left get to live in his kingdom. So, according to the scripture. No. So. No. And not to mention, you know, the whole thing about, oh, Christ redeemed us back and from the Tower of Babel, and we don't have to worry about it anymore because we was redeemed back. And, of course, we were given other gods, but now that he's died on the cross, we don't have to worry about that no more. No, no. Micah chapter 4, it says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Most High shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. What people? And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Most High, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Most High from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine, and under his fig tree. And none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Most High of hosts have spoken it. For all people, I want you to hear this, everybody that's out there, all of you so-called scholars that's teaching these people this stuff that's wrong, that because Christ died on the cross, he reconciled you back to himself, and you are no longer under those gods, that is not true. Hear this. Do hear what this says. For all people will walk every on in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Most High, our Elohim, forever. That's going to stay. In that day, saith the Most High, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Most High shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. So all that's going to say, yes, you will be allowed to come in the kingdom, but you will come in the name of the God that you were given at the Tower of Babel. You still have to come in the name of that God. There's an authority in place, and there's a protocol, and that's how it has to be. So, you know, these are the things. These are the things. Area code 717, your mic is open. You're on the air. Hello?
Sorry about that, Sister Aina. So for the Feast of Tabernacle, what exactly do we do on that day?
It's your 7 days. You have to live in a tent for 7 days to remember that we lived in a tent at Mount Sinai when we came out of Egypt. It's a 7-day event, and you have to live in a tent for 7 days. And you're not supposed to do any servile work. But I know people who have done it and get up and go to work from the tent. So I don't know. Like I said, a lot of stuff we can't do here. Some people do it. But we will live in the tent for 7 days.
Yeah, I know some people do it in their living room. Like, is that something that we can do?
I mean, yeah, I guess it's kind of not the same thing, but it is. I mean, yeah, until we get to really where we're going. Mm-hmm. It's really, if you have a fenced-in backyard, you can do it that way. Some camps have rented out campgrounds, and they use those campgrounds for 7 days, and people go, and they do it that way 7 days and that kind of stuff. So, you know.
Yeah, the land. I mean, it's just the heart, really. Y'all would see, we do it in the inside. We would do it out back, but we have bears where we live at, and it's big, and he likes to walk around, so it's...
What?
I don't know if that's safe to do in our backyard, but y'all would see our heart if we do it inside the house. We're thinking about him.
Right. You say it's bears outside. Right. But that's what it is. You know, and everybody's going to be required to keep that in his kingdom. You're going to spend 7 days in the tent. You know, and every year you're going to spend that. If you don't do it, you ain't going to get no rain. It's just
But those are probably nicer then.
Huh?
They'll be nicer. I said the bears will probably be nicer in the kingdom. We'll actually be able to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, you know. But, I mean, you know, it's just some things, you know, some people are able to do it and some people aren't. You know, they just aren't. You know, it's just like I said, we do the best we can with where we are. We try to make it, you know, work where we are, but that is one of the prerequisites of being in his kingdom. You're going to have to do that. You have to participate in that or you will get no rain. And you won't. So, and that's real truth. I mean, you know, that's real serious. So, you know, we have to dispel all this negative stuff that's going across the internet talking about the Israelites is the only ones going to be in the kingdom and the Israelites is, that is not true. That's not true. You know, and making other people feel like that they're not going to be included in his kingdom, that's not true either. The only thing that, you know, we don't discuss is the punishment of the other nations because we've already gone through ours. We've gone through our 400-year punishment, and the hardest part is knowing that and sitting here and still sitting here waiting for him to deliver us. But all the other nations have to go through their chastisement just like we do, like we had to. And the hardest reason the reason why it's so hard for them is because they on top. So it's like, what punishment we got to go through? I don't know nothing about that. I ain't going to be here no way. You know, it's like, wow. So, you know, and nobody really believes it. So, you know, like I said, bad weather and droughts and snow in diverse places, that's not punishment. That's weather to them. You know, so, you know, you just have to, we have to just do the best we can and do what we're supposed to do. You know, and just wait on him, because there's nothing else you can really do at this point but wait on him. You know. All praises be to the High Holy One of Israel. You just have to wait on him. But, yeah, that's what the Feast of Tabernacle is. You spend 7 days in the tent. And before my uncle died, I was going to do it with him. My grandmother's backyard is fenced in. And he was like, would you do it with me? I said, yeah, I'll bring my tent. You have your tent, and we can be out in the backyard. You know, as long as you got a fenced in backyard, you can do it. But we didn't get to do it. And by the time it came back around again, she was in a nursing home, and the house was sold, and he was gone. So, you know. You know, I don't know whether they barbecued or how they prepared their food when they was in it. I've never done it. I'm going to be honest with you, I've never done it. You know, some people camp all the time. It's not a big deal for them. They do that. But you said, we can't do it out here. There's bears out here. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But, I mean, that's real talk. You know, and some of us have never had that experience. But we will. We definitely will. You know, and they had to. And you had to go in your tent. Even on the Sabbath day, wasn't no picking up no sticks or nothing. Everybody was quiet that day. You know. So when we get where he is, a lot of things will be different. The way we worship the Sabbath will be different. The way we celebrate the Sabbath will be different. Everything will be different because it won't be no more conference calls and all that stuff. We will be in our own tents or where, how, in our own homes doing whatever it is we're doing. It'll be different. You know, I don't know how, but it just won't be the same. You know? I don't even know how, you know, well, it's up to him, but I'm, you know, it's a lot of things my mind goes to. How is all these people going to be governed when they get, you know, when we get to where we're going? But he managed to do it when we left the first time. We left Egypt. So it's a very interesting, you know, fee, but it's not my job. That's his job. But, yeah. He said he tends to think it's a girl up there. And that's why all the men are taking control and they taking charge, because it's a girl up there. And it's like, no, it's both. They're both up there. We just have a very compassionate Elohim. And he cares. Anytime he tell you done provoked him to jealousy, that's some serious stuff. Who wants to provoke him to anything? You know? Well, he said, you have provoked me to jealousy. Woo! Mercy, that's Deuteronomy 32:21. He said, they have moved me to jealousy, that which is not Yah. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. He said, and I will move them to jealousy. With those which are not a people, I provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And they have. Every time I see that commercial, come to Israel, it's the wonderful place. And they are all out in the water and stuff. It's the kind of resort. I'm like, man. I'll be like, man, look. Look at what we gave up. Look at what will happen. Look. It's a whole commercial, y'all. They all in bathing suits and all out in the water on the beach and all. Please. And we have to sit back and watch it. Knowing that land is holy. Not saying you ain't supposed to have fun, but that's a holy land. That's our land. That's the land he gave us. He gave that to us by the covenant through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now we sitting over here watching it on TV. How crazy is that? It's crucial. No. No. We have definitely been provoked, that's for sure. Like, man, look. Look at all that. We got every nation over there but us. Everybody's enjoying it but us. I mean, you know, it's a lot. We have to watch other people enjoying it, and we watching it on TV. It's just pitiful. It's a sad situation. It's a sad situation to be in. Be like, man, Jesus. They just having a good old time. It's like, man, look. You know. So, that's where we are with it today. That's all you can do. You can't do nothing but watch and get prepared for wherever we're going to be. You know, whenever he decides for us to be where we're going to be, we just have to move in. But right now, you can't do nothing about it. You can do nothing but watch and try to get to know him and teach your children of him and make sure they know. You know, just a lot. You know, anybody else have any questions, comments, or anything? You know, because it's a lot. But we getting there, y'all. We learning. We getting to knowing. You know, we spending time. We try to do what we can do in terms of building ourselves up. But, you know, if you notice everybody else, even the big groups, they ain't doing a whole lot either. Everybody's sitting still because you can't do nothing there. All you can do is what he'll allow you to do. You can't do too much. No, because you got to remember, somebody else is in your place right now. Somebody else is calling themselves Jacob. There's nothing you could do. You just wish, you just keep yourself spotless as possible, and you live the life until it's time. That's all we can do. You know, Black History Month came and went. I don't even think it went so fast. I don't even look at that stuff no more. It's like, whatever. You know? It's just a lot. What can you say? So, back to the topic at hand. You know, we were talking about relationships and marriage and all that kind of good stuff. And anybody have a comment on that or anything you want to comment on? You know, today, you know, dealing with the Most High and all of the things. Are you guys provoked to jealousy? Are you angry? Are you jealous of the fact, you know, did he complete this too? Because he said, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. And I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Shoot. That has truly been done. I mean, for real, I have experienced that myself. Like, man, you know, but he's very quiet right now. You know, he's not really saying or doing a whole lot. He's just allowing us to watch and to be very quiet and be still. You know, and he's not doing a whole lot. He's just really not. And when he's quiet like this, this is when you really start to pay attention because, you know, some changes are about to be made. You know, and I know everybody gets burnt out after a while. We be up on this big high, and then we get real excited, and it'll be like, and then you got to go back, and you got to retreat again, and you got to get in the scriptures, and you got to be in prayer, and you got to wait. And as much as you wait, you're ready to go, and then you just got to keep waiting, and then you find yourself waiting, and then you're waiting, and then you're waiting. But you know what? There's a ministry in waiting. He has to teach you how to be patient. He does. A lot of us some people started out great jobs, good money, making buku dollars. And as soon as they came conscious, it seemed like everything just went in a whole nother direction. Been there too. Okay? I mean, seriously. It just seemed that way, you know. But it's all for your good, believe me, because you're gonna end up winning in the end. You know, it just seemed, you know, it can feel like that. You know, some people were lawyers and different things like that. And, you know, you're in an arena where they move a certain way and do certain things a certain way, but as soon as you start talking about you Israelite, things change. You know. But what it is. You know. We are the ones that he chose to at this for such a time as this to be the voice and be out in front to tell the people who they are and to help them to get through it. And he provides. He provides. You know, I know some people that have gotten, they was with us in the beginning, and as soon as they got on their feet, they left. And it's like, wow, really? As much as y'all has done, that's how you do it? You know? So you have to go through it. And you have to be faithful. Because he rewards faithfulness. He really does. You know, and it don't seem right. Everybody look at you and shake like they did him at the crucifixion. They'll walk past you and shake their head at you like, oh, I remember when you had it going on. And look at you now. You're begging for this and you ain't got that. What's going on? You must have did something the same way they did him at the crucifixion. And don't change because people like to look at the outside. They're not really seeing the full picture. They're seeing what they can see. You know. So just hold on. I know it's rough. Sometimes it get rough. You know, whether it's illnesses, sicknesses, finances, whatever, hold on. And if you can't hold on, hang on and just trust him. Because he got to know he can trust you. He got to know. You know, it's very difficult, but he's got to know he can trust you. And once he knows that, you know, then he can, once he changes it, you don't have to worry about it no more. Once he changes, you don't have to worry about it no more. No. So the story's already written. The outcome, the end is already written. You know? And then once he changes, you don't have to worry about it no more. It's been changed. He just wants you to have peace in him and know that no matter what you see, it's going to be all right. And see, that's what the enemy does. The enemy brings the trauma in front of your eyes and be like, oh my God, this is going to be a disaster. And if you look at it long enough and you study it long enough, you'll say the same thing. This is truly going to be a disaster. And the moment you speak those words out of your mouth, they have to come to pass. So you got to be faithful over what you say and what you think. And when it gets to the point where you feel like you're going to doubt, you just start quoting scriptures. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I mean, you got to grab a hold to something and be able to say that and really do mean that. You know? Well, if this is the way he wanted to go, this is how it is, he's still able. Just got to be faithful. And everybody might be seeming like they riding high and they doing good. Everybody, you look around, look like people doing great, and you just be like, man, what is happening? You know, but that's he's got to try you. He got to test you. You know, he got to know that you're able, that you're trustworthy. You know? I know some of y'all going through financially. I know where you started from when we first met. I know where you was when we first met. I know. But you still got to hold on. You got to hold on because he needs you. He called you for a reason. We are the called and the chosen. Chosen what? To do his will. You know? Called into action to do his will. You got to do it. You know how many lives we changed just from being on this radio show, and how many lives we changed being on YouTube and being on the conference call on the Sabbath day, and you know how many people have called and said, "I'm so glad y'all still here. Ooh, I needed this. I'm so glad you still here. You just don't realize it, you know." We got to get to our young people and tell them to stop killing each other. It's not gonna be that many of you left. That's what the enemy wants. He comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. Stop killing each other. You know? Husbands killing wives and boyfriends killing girlfriends and pregnant babies and pregnant women. Now stop killing each other. No? and just trust Yah. I seen an article where this young man got off on murder now. They let him out. We went to court. And the jury found him not guilty. I think it was a week later he lured the girl that was pregnant by him. Soon as he got out, he lured her and killed her. Wasn't even out a week. No. Crucial. Killed her. He got him off. He got off, found not guilty, and got out of jail and killed the girl, killed somebody else. No? So we got work to do. I don't know what he has called you to do, but you know what? You guys have been sitting up in class, and you have been learning, and you know enough. Whether you pass out flyers or whether you do something, we have to start doing stuff now. We have to put forth an effort and start doing something. Pray about it, asking what it is. I got so many eyes. It just ain't enough for me. It's just not enough. You know, but we got to start doing stuff for the communities and helping people understand. You know, people want money. They want resources, but we can give them something greater than money. You know? Because I had a boldness when I was in Christianity. I would walk up to the dope boys in the corner and stand in the middle of them and tell them, you know Jesus? And they'd be looking at me like, lady, where you come from? You know? You know? So you can't lose that. I said, you know, the rapture coming. You know what that is, don't you? They be standing there, looking for the police. Nah, we don't know what you're talking about. Well, you know, same thing. We have to tell them, no, this time y'all coming. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is your God. He chose you. And it's hard to talk to people when they ain't got no money and they trying to feed their family, but you got to try. You really do have to try. You know. Yeah, so, you know, this is our nation, and it's difficult. I know it's hard. I know you guys is having a rough time at it because you're like, well, what do we do? Until the Most High open up their eyes, they don't want to hear nothing we have to say. I done told all my family, and I tried to get them to come over. I done invited them to the Feast of Passover Feast. I done invited them to come over. They don't want to come. You know? I know it's hard. I know, but we got to keep on pushing through. It's like giving birth to a baby. It take hours sometimes. Sometimes days. We got to push it through. We got to birth this thing. You know, it's hard. You know, because when he do open up their eyes, good gracious. Man, I can't imagine him opening up everybody's eyes at the same time. Woo, that's going to be rough, for real. You know? Even if he did a quarter of the people, you know, once a year, that's a lot of folks. You know, a lot of people. And that's all the things, you know, we had it all mapped out. Everybody's stuff was laid out, what we were supposed to do, how we going to handle it. But you know what it is that stops us is life, because you still got to go to work. You still got to take care of your family. You still got to make sure your bills is met. You still got to do. And those are the things that I pray about. God, please deliver us and give us some funds. We need finances to be able to do this. It is difficult to do this, and we don't have no finances. And sometimes you just got enough, and you're trying to figure out how to do it. I know. Oh, I understand, and that's what I pray. Y'all, please deliver us and give us some finances to be able to do this so we can roll up our sleeves and do this right. Y'all thought I was funny when I said I needed $3 billion. That's what I need. I know what I need. I have need of. Not million, billion. We need money to be able to do this. We don't want to get no 501c3 like everybody else and have the government telling us what we can say and what we can't say and trying to get grant. No, 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 because he said the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to him. So it is billionaires out there. It's black billionaires. It's white billionaires. It's all kind of billionaires out there that are looking for someone to lead their stuff to. We need some help. We need some dollars. You know? We need some serious dollars to be able to do this right. And he will. And he say, well, the Lord of the Most High blessed he do. He blesses through men. He said, give and it shall be given good measures. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give unto your bosom. That's the scriptures. It's going to be people. So those are the things that I pray about, you know, because the nation of Yehuda is ready to be launched. Who better to launch it than us? The royal house of King David, who better to do it than me and us? Everybody got all these royal titles. Oh, we the original nations. We're the original royalty. Prove it. How? Let's get together and do this together if that's who you are. But everybody's running around trying to be separate and independent and apart, and it makes you look fragmented, and it's crazy stuff being taught. You got work to do, real live work. You know, we live in a land that's free. And we, you know, we have a freedom of religion. Whether everybody say, well, this is not a religion, and we're a nation. We are a nation, but we live by religious principles, which are laws. And those are the laws that he gave us, and those laws govern us, and our Elohim is the Elohim of all. So, yeah, we should be able to freely express ourselves like everybody else can. You know? A lot of the Israelites don't even have buildings to be able to have nowhere to have worship service in or to be able to have classes in. Why? Because they don't have the finances to do it. You know, so, you know, and when the Most High gets ready, he's going to touch the people's hearts to be able to give what they're supposed to give. And it's when he's ready to do it, he's going to do it. And this before you leave. You know, he's going to do it. We got work to do. It's work to do. This is something that has to be organized. It is work to be done. And when the time comes, whoever it is or whomever it is, how many of them it is, he going to touch the heart. You know, and he's getting out. He's like, you ain't got out there. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. We need it. So if there's somebody out there that's able to do it, we need it. And you can send a check to P.O. Box 40209, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45240, because we need it. We're ready to get started, and we need it. No. Without the restrictions and the isms and schisms. No. So those are the things that I pray about, you know. That we can start to do those things and have a real or system set up, you know? Because we're not going to go away. We don't go away. We're not going away. This isn't going away. So he'll make a way when the time comes, but like I said, I know the struggles. I do. I know it. And I hear it all the time. I hear the frustration. I hear all of it. I get all of it. Like, you know, please pray for me. You know, I'm really tired. I'm ready to go. I've had enough. I don't want to do this no more. But we got to keep on pushing. Because we got to show that it's a blessing in serving Yah. You know, we can't be all downtrodden like, boy, I'll be glad this mess is over. No. Perk up. We got stuff to do. You got to go in the corner. You go in the corner, and somebody another soldier come out, red up. You done rested. Okay, now it's my turn. You know, you might get you got to go and get some smelling salt. Perk up. It's time to go to work. Dude, we got stuff to do. These young people is killing each other. You know? They really are. These young women need our help. These young women need our help. When you look at all the mess that's going on out there, these young girls need our help. They in a terrible way. Even the old women is in a mess. It's a mess. They don't even know they royalty. They just doing any and everything. It's a mess. We got to start doing this. You know, because we can't leave it up to nobody else to do it. We can't. Shoot, we left it in the hands of everybody else. It's our turn now. No, it's just a mess. No, it's just, we just got to keep a plenty of harvest is plentiful, but the labor's a few. And the labor's get tired. You be like, look, I'm tired. I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm tired. I can't do no more. I'm dying. Look, I'm thin. I'm stretched thin, you know. But you got to keep on doing it. Because he said, he'll make you, if you're faithful over a few things, he'll make you ruler over many. You got to be faithful. And you're going to be afflicted? Yes, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Most High shall deliver us out of them all. All of that, you're going to be tried. You're going to be tried in the fire. You like, look, woo, this is a lot. It's like, keep on pushing, don't stop. And that's what I'm here today to encourage you. Keep on pushing, don't stop. We 10 years in on this radio show this month, 10 years in, this month. We've been here for 10 years this month, faithful and consistent, every Sunday. With maybe a couple, we might have missed a few, but we, and I would say maybe five in 10 years. Just talking. Talking to each other, encouraging each other, holding each other up. Giving each other encouragement, you know, praying for each other, praying with each other. And that's what it's supposed to be. That's how you build unity. You know? Helping each other. Sending money when we can. Doing whatever we can do, how we can do it. We worked, we did a lot with a little. We did. And it was, what, $40 a month? Every month for 10 years? And guess what? Everybody, we were struggling to do it at first, me and Malcolm, and then everybody else started chipping in and helping and sending their little twos and fews, and here's this, and it ain't much, but I can help. And we've done it. We've been here for 10 years this month. You know? He's made a way. He made a way for us to be able to do this. And you just, because you're sitting in your living room or you're sitting in your bedroom or you're listening to us in your kitchen or wherever you are in your home or in your cars or on your job with your headpiece on, we are talking to the world. It's just not us. We are talking to people all over the world. They're listening to us all over the world. All over the world. Brazil. They listen to us in Australia. They're listening to us in Russia. They're listening to us in Germany. They listen to us in Iran. They listen to us in their native languages all over the world. In England. All over the world. Canada. You know, the Caribbean islands. All over the world they listen. Africa, all over. But because it's just us, you think it's just us. And that's what the Most High had to tell me. He said, you just really think that it's just your, that little few, the few people you have. And I, wait a minute, I've allowed you to get comfortable thinking that's what it is. But when I show you how many people it really is, you're going to really freak all the way out. And I'm like, please don't freak me out. Don't freak me out. Okay, I'm comfortable with, you know, a couple hundred people. Don't freak me out. He said, no, when I show you, it's going to freak you out. You're going to be messed up. I'm giving you out. He didn't say freak you out, but he said, you know, it's going to scare you. You know, when you really know how many people, you don't realize how many people listening. Millions of people. Millions of people are listening. And they may not know your name, but they know your voice. They may not have seen your picture, but they know you. They say, oh, I know that voice. I done heard that voice before. That's Brother Adonia. I know that. That's Brother Urachalam. Oh, I know that's Brother Uriah. Oh, that's Brother William. I know that voice. That's Sister Yadea. I know that's the Lavia. I know them people. You know? Because they've listened to us year after year after year telling them, hold on, it's almost over. I know it's rough, but hold on. I know you want to go do some stuff that you've been normally doing and make stuff happen, and you can make it happen, and I know you have the ability to make it happen. We're very resourceful people. And I know you can go out there and work your hand and get what you need to do, but do those things that are righteous in the eyes of the Most High and let Him bless you. I know you have the ability to make a dollar out of 15 cents, but don't do it. Do those things that are righteous in the eyes of the Most High, and He'll bless you. You know, make sure you walk up honorable. Provide all things honest in the sight of all men. That's what the scriptures say. And some of us, you know, we have the ability to do some stuff. And it's like, man, look. And you just, sometimes you got to sit on your hands and just rock a little while. Like, okay, I'm just going, okay, y'all, okay, okay. Okay. Let Him do it because he got to be doing it. I was always told, if you're going to do it, He's going to step out the way. And in order for Him to do it, you got to step out the way. You can't get in it. And you're like, oh, my goodness. But He got to teach you how to trust Him. He got to teach you. And I know you can do it, but do it right. Because that way you can walk tall and have it the way you want to have it when you do it right. You ain't got to be sneaking and hiding and nothing. He wants somebody that can do it right. That way the enemy can't go to him and say, see, look what he did. He ain't walking upright before you. I know you ain't getting ready to bless him. He cheated. Did you see what he just did? Do it right. It's going to be rough sometimes, you know, but do it right. And watch him do what he said he's going to do. Watch him. It might mean you got to struggle sometimes, just a little bit, but do it right. You know? Do what you got to do. Tell the truth. You know? Be honest. Everybody make mistakes. Be honest. You know? Do it right. And that way, when you do it that way, he got you. He can help you. You go in there, you know, you lying and scheming and cheating and conniving. Mm-mm. The enemy got goods on you then. There ain't nothing he can do. He can't help you. You're like, and then even then, he still step up sometime and be like, have mercy on her. And you be like, woo, thank you. You know what I'm saying? But you got to do that test over again. You're going to do that test over. So if you don't want to do the test over, do it right the first time. You're like, I ain't going through this no more. No. You don't know how many people that came up to me and said, Yaina, you know, I got so-and-so, nope. First thing come out of my mouth is, no, I don't want no part of it. No. Do it right. No. But you ain't want nobody to know. Yes, they will. The enemy watching. He got agents watching. They'll know. They might not say nothing at first, but they know. So do it always. Do it right. It's hard. Sometimes you got to go before the Most High and be like, now, you know I'm doing the best I can here. Please have mercy on me. You know, if you want to do something else, and it's like, no, do it right. And you'll be all right. No, because the heathen can't live. The heathen can't be more respectful than the Israelites. We supposed to be the representative of the Most High. And we out scheming and conniving better than they are. And we know how now. Trust me, we know how. We can do it well, but do it right. That way you ain't got to do it again, because you will do it again. Be like, man, he said, that's all right. You'll do that one over. You know, after he gets you out there, after he show you a little mercy, he like, that's all right. You're going to do that one again. You like, jeez. I don't want to do that no more, but you got to do it till you get it right. You're going to pass the test. See, some of them sermons in the Christian church wasn't half bad because it was the truth. You're going to keep doing it till you get it right. Don't do it right the first time. Tell the truth. It was me. I did it. I apologize. I made a mistake. And then repent. That's what we tell everybody. Repent. Do it right. Do what's right. You know what's right. And that's what he got to get us. He has to have a righteous group of people to represent him. He got to have a righteous group of people that know how to conduct themselves. He has to have a righteous group of people that make mistakes and can apologize and be like, that was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. That came out wrong. I apologize. I did not mean any harm or any disrespect. You ought to be the best coworker that your boss has ever had. They ought to be like, that lady is morally correct. She is always polite. She's always kind. Or that brother right there, he's always respectful. He does a good job all the time. We have to reflect our Elohim. Everywhere Joseph went, the Most High blessed his hand. Everybody he came in contact with was blessed because he was there. And that's how you ought to be when you walk in your job. Your corporation ought to go up. They earning points ought to go up 50, 60%. What is going on? Because you walked in the room. Because you in there. Everywhere you touch, the Most High to bless. And they'll know when you gone. Like, oh, wait, somebody done left. What's happening here? We have a responsibility. That's why he woke us up. That's why he made us who we are today, that we know what's going on. We can't be like everybody else. Y'all gon' die. That's right. No. And if that's the role you play, that's the role you play. I ain't knocking nobody, but he got to have somebody that's going to stand up and be able to represent him in arenas and circles. Everybody can't go. Some people just can't come. It's just simple as that. You just can't come. You know it's okay where you at, and you do what you do where you at, but you can't do this over here. You got to know who the prime ministers are of these countries, who the presidents are of these countries. You got to know these things. You got to know who you're dealing with politically. Now, like I said, I'm not knocking what nobody else do. I'm not. Trust me, I'm not. Everybody got a role to play, but you got a different role you got to play over here, and I've always said that. And I'm talking nation to nation stuff, because I ain't seen nobody in the Hebrew Israelite community walk in to the UN or walk into any of these organizations and sit down and have a conversation with them one-on-one representing us the way that we should. They might have did it years ago, but recently I ain't seen it. I haven't. So I'm just saying, we're at this point now. So those are the things that have to be done. We just have to hold on. We have to be encouraged, and we got to keep doing what we're doing, and we got to keep polishing it up. It's time to step into a whole nother arena, and I said it before, I'll keep saying it again until it gets there, And like I said, we need funds, and he know we need it. And once it comes, it's game on. So a lot of y'all won't even go back to work no more. You'll be willing, full-time employees, game on. Full benefits, health benefits, dental, eye, all that. Game on, because we have people that's qualified to do that over here. There won't be no more calling and hoping we can get in touch with communities and talking to people. We will go to where they are and set up appointments and fly to wherever they are and sit down and have a conversation. That's over with, because it's time now to get this thing rolling. It's got to be right. It ain't going to be no more sending emails and hoping somebody answers. It ain't going to be that no more. It's going to be going to these people saying, this is what needs to be done, and this is how we're going to get it together, and we would like for everybody to come together, because it's time to start gathering so we can go home. This is what needs to be done. Everybody in their little corners, we don't associate with nobody. It's just us. It ain't going to be just you. It's going to be all of us. That ain't how the Most High got it set up. It ain't just you. It's a nation. We building a nation. And I remember when I heard it in my mind, I said, I don't know how to do that. That was, what, 15 years ago. But guess what? Y'all ain't to do now. We just need the funds to be able to do that. We got to have funds to be able to do that. And I had one lady tell me she gave $5,000 to the church. I said, excuse me? Why? I don't know. I wish I hadn't never did. $5,000 to the church. Mm-mm. Too much work to be done. We got to start really doing it. And that's the prayer. That's the, you know, prayer. Yeah, we need it. You know, we got this stuff that needs to be done. You know, we going to our young people and telling them, we going to get them. We got to build this thing. This is how we build a nation. We got to show them how to cook clean. We got to show them how to keep the Sabbath. And let me say this, too, to all of you all new people that's out there that's keeping the Sabbath for the first time, I think it's a wonderful thing that you keep in the Sabbath. But do not light candles on the Sabbath. No candles on the Sabbath. The scripture says kindle no fire, Exodus 35:3. It says kindle, ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. We are not lighting candles on the Sabbath day. This is not a neo culture that you create something new. This is how we follow. This is the things that we have to be able to do. We need to be going to the church and saying, are you keeping the Passover this year? The Passover is this day. We coming together in our houses to keep the Passover. Will you come with us and keep the Passover? We got to start meeting with these pastors and stuff and these parishioners saying the Passover is coming. Do you keep the Passover? Passover is March 17 at even. You want some information on how to keep the Passover, send us an email. Our email address is theyehudaproject@gmail.com. And Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H. theyehudaproject@gmail.com. Send us an email. We've been sitting in our houses long enough trying to reach the world. We got to get out there. And that's going to take funds. That's going to take money. That's going to take customer service and stuff. We have the skills and the know-how to do this stuff. We're going to have to work. It's work to do. It's work to be done. It ain't about fashion shows and dressing up and looking, oh, we got work to do. It ain't about building schools and all. It's work to do. We have work to do. You know, all the other stuff is good, but we have work to do. This is serious. You know? And some serious stuff. This is, you know, this time now. I ain't nothing else to teach. I mean, the stuff we teaching is, yes, we going back over stuff and we adding stuff to it, but you guys know enough. You got managerial skills. We got medical skill people. We got all kind of stuff jumping off. We have enough people to do what it is we need to be done. And, y'all, we need to finance. So touch someone's heart. We need some billionaires to step up and to give some money to the nation of Yehuda. We need them to leave money to the nation of Yehuda so we can get this thing done. So we can start gathering and getting our children off the street and stopping them from killing each other. We need funds to be able to do this stuff. And we've been faithful over a few things. We've been faithful. We've been here for 10 years. And we need you to touch the heart of the folks that are listening to this radio show that's been listening all over the world. We need your help. We don't have no GoFundMe pages. We don't have none of that stuff. We're not relying on nobody else to do it for us. We need your help to be able to do this, what we're doing. And we've been here. We've proven ourselves faithful. Our P.O. Box is P.O. Box 40209, Cincinnati, Ohio 45240. I'm going to say it again. P.O. Box 40209, Cincinnati, Ohio 45240. We need your help. We done held it together. He said, you have not because you ask not. And some of y'all know y'all waste more money gambling and all kind of stuff that you're doing that you can send and help us. We need help. You know, we ask the Most High to touch the heart. You know, we need wisdom to step in. She gives us the power to get wealth. We need you. You sent these people here, and they've been faithful, and they've been coming, and we've been holding on. We've been working through adversity, pain, financial situation struggles, death. We've been coming, and we've been faithful, and we need you all to help us to continue to do the work. As simple as that. There's no other way to do this. You know, it's hard to do this like this, but we've been doing it. And everybody has sacrificed. Everybody has. I know you guys have. I know you have. But like poor brother Yerushalayim, he just been trying his best to get these people, these other groups, and talking to the men. And we need help. We need to be able to go to them. We need help. We need to be able to go talk to them. You know, it's work to be done. It's work. It's just not going to come like, you know, if we have done great and people have been listening, but we need help. We just really do. And like I said, I appreciate what everybody has done. Everybody on this call, you have been a blessing, and you have done and you have given out of what you have had. But it's time we're going to a new level right now. So we need some more. We need something, a whole totally different situation to make this thing happen the way it needs to happen. You know, so that's just where we are. And that's what I have been praying for, you know, that, you know, that's what I just asked the Most High for. And, you know, it's just as simple as that, you know, because if we don't do, you know, we the foot soldiers. We got to get out there. And we've been sitting in our living rooms for long enough. You know, and it means we got to go to work. We got to go to work. I don't mind putting on my shoes and hitting the pavement. I would knock on doors. I would go up to the pastors like, look, this is what the scriptures say. This is what we're trying to do. We need to, if you're not going to get out here, we out here. Let's do this. We don't have to be on the street corner to get out there, but we need to get out there. We've used social media. Everybody got a Facebook page. All the Israelites got YouTube channels. We've been on Vimeo, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, what else? All the other stuff. We've been on all of that stuff. Okay, that's from the house. It's time to do something else now. No, we need to be passing out information and letting people know what's going on. You know, so it's time now. It's time to do this. It's time to do this. So I just wanted to leave that with you. And this is just the way the conversation went today. I hope everybody got a blessing from the conversation. But it's time. We got to roll up our sleeves. We need some funds to be able to do this. We have. We need funds. So all you billionaires out there and you millionaires out there that are wanting to see this thing progress and wanting to see this thing go, we need your help. Point blank, period. And we really do. We got free lessons on there. We don't charge for our lessons. We don't charge for our school. We don't charge for coming to learn. The Bible is free. The Word is free. The Most High's love is free. But we need some help to be able to do what we need to do. We don't ask for no tithes like the pastors do. We need help. So, on that note, I'm going to end the call. Don't forget that we're meeting back here. Where's Brother Yerushalayim? Brother Uriah. Brother Uriah, you there? I'm going to open up your mic so you can let us know what time we're meeting tonight. Hold on. Here we go.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Yes, we're meeting back at 6:30.
Okay. 6:30 on our class, right?
Yes, on our class line.
Okay, we're going to meet back at 6:30 on our class line to end the new moon ceremony, and that way we can go out to the stores and buy once the sun go down. So everybody meet back on our regular Sabbath day class line at 6:30, and we'll see you then. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Good night, everybody.
Out of the heart. Shalom.
Hello.
Shalom.